Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is B'churos Daf Lamed Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We turn our attention to the Mishnah at the upper part of Daf Lamed Hey, 4 lines from the top. Before we learn the Mishnah, we will take advantage of one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the marked Gemaras that are the cornerstone of Gemara markings, the Gemara that appears on your screen. In the outside margin, you will notice from time to time topic headings and structural notes. Topic headings entitled Nose, structural notes entitled Mivne. At times, we combine the two notes into one, as we do over here. You see the Nose Mivne with a diamond featured. The diamond corresponds to the diamonds that you see in the Mishnah. These represent Shnei Maisim, Shehutal Mum Bevechor Shelo Bekavona. Two incidents are featured in this Mishnah where a mum, a blemish, was imposed on a firstborn male animal, a Bechor, without intent. One incident, Ayide Akum, was done by an idol worshipper, and the second incident, number two, Ayide Tinokos, children. The Achakach Kishiro Shehetiru Mumim Elu, and afterwards when these people respectively saw that an allowance to slaughter the Bechor was achieved through these Mumim, Himshichu Lahatil Mumim, they continued to impose blemishes on firstborn animals, the Osrum, and the rabbis said, no, we cannot allow the animals, these other animals, because of these blemishes. HaGemora Tazbir Loma Li Shnei Dugmo Yisela. The Gemara itself will explain, what do I need these two examples for? Why is one example not sufficient? Turning to the Mishnah, Maisa Bezochor Sheruchelim Zokein. There was an incident involving a very old male sheep, Visaro Meduldol, and it had long dangling hair. Vero Kazdur Echod. A Kazdur is an idol worshipper, an official, who noticed this animal, the Omar, and he asked, Ma Tivoi Shelzeh? Why is this animal, why has it been left to age so much? Amru lo, so he was informed, Bechor hu ve'eno nishchat elo im kein hoya bo mum. It's a firstborn male animal, and it cannot be slaughtered unless it has a blemish. Of course, we're talking about a time period when there is no Beis HaMikdash, otherwise it would have been brought as a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. In the event that that was not feasible, so it would be left until it develops a mum. In this particular case, it didn't develop a blemish until it was quite aged and still had no blemish. Well, upon hearing this, Notal Pigum Vitzoram Es Ozno, he took his spear and he notched the animal's ear. He made a blemish. Ubo Mais Lifnei Chachomim Vehitiro. The Chachomim said that, okay, it's now blemished. The Rashi explains Vehitiroi Sharei Ein Loimar Shoive Kichovim Hazeh Lahatiroi Niskavein. There isn't enough evidence to say that this idol worshipper intended to make a mum. Sharei Eino Yodea Sheyodei Mum Shiase Bo Yishochei. He doesn't know that the slaughter of this animal will happen as a result of the blemish that he made. He was very well thinking that it would not be allowed to be slaughtered unless the mum came about on its own. Now, the Mishnah goes on. Ubo Ma'is Lefnei Chacham, we read this already, the Hitiro. Now, Rosh Hitiro, the idol worshipper, saw that based on his blemish, the animal was given an allowance. It was permitted. Holach Betzirim Ba'ozne Bechoros Achirim, the Asru. He now went ahead and imposed blemishes or notches on the ears of other firstborns, and those already the Chachamim forbade. Pam achas hoyu tinokos misachakim besode. Once the children were playing in the fields, the koshru znovois tloim zebozeh, and they tied the tails of the sheep one to the other. Vinifsiko znovo shel echod mehem. And the tail of one of these lambs got ripped off, and it turned out that it was a firstborn male sheep. This incident came to the notice of the Chachamim. They said, well, it's now blemished, and it's therefore allowed. The children saw that this resulted in the animal becoming allowed. They went ahead and did this same tail tying practice with other firstborns, the Asru, and the Chachamim did not allow them. Zeh haklal kol shehu ledaito also. The following rule says that any blemish action that was done with knowledge that the imposition of this particular blemish will result in an allowance, so it will not be allowed. Shelo ledaito. However, if the blemish that was imposed was not done with the intent of it becoming mutter, so then mutter. We will say that the blemish that results is reason for allowing the animal, the bechor, to be slaughtered. The Gemara now deals with the question that we mentioned at the outset in our introductory remarks, that why is it necessary to have this second incident featured in the Mishnah? Pam achas hoya v'chulei koyu, the case of the tinokos. Utsricha, I need both cases. In our markings, you'll notice we've squiggle underlined the expression di ashminin, so you can compare it with the next squiggle underlined e ashmina, two lines later, each time bringing out a particular case. The e ashminan oive kechavim, if we would have taught the permission concerning the first animal in the case of the idol worshipper, de lo osi lemisrach, there is no fear of the idol worshipper. Let's say continuing. The Misrach has to do with continuing. It is of no concern to us, let us say, that this particular Gentile would continue making mumin in animals. He's not someone whose shmiras mitzvahs is of any concern to us, if you will, if we avokoton de osi lemisrach aim alo, but a minor who we do have a fear that he may continue this practice, maybe we wouldn't be so lenient as to allow even the first blemished animal that a child made. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Diashminen ove kuchavim. The hitil mum, there's a girs on the side that says the hitil mum lebechor rishon the hitiro al yodo. If we would have taught that case that the Gentile had imposed a blemish on that first animal and we allowed it, the leko lemeimar osi hai oivi kuchavim lemisrach lelameid lahatil mum bekotshim. That as a result of that, this Gentile will continue this practice. This the sirchei the oivik yichavim lo ich paslon. The continued behavior of the idol worshiper is not of any concern to us. Sharei nohug hu b'isura. He anyway does forbidden things. Therefore, the fear of this continuity on his part is not something that preoccupies us. But with regard to the minor, he will become a bar mitzvah and a Torah obligated Jew. So we would have concern about his continuing in these ways. Therefore, I wouldn't have known from the leniency in the case of the idol worshiper and carry that over to the case of the minor. Continuing in the Gemara, the Ashminu Katan, Mishum Dolo Osi Lichlufi Begodol, and had we taught an allowance concerning the case of a minor, there is because I would say that we made an allowance based on the fact that he was a katan, and I won't confuse that with the case of an adult doing the same thing. Avol Ovi Kichavim, however, the idol worshipper who happened to be an adult, the Osi Lichlufi Begodol, I could come to confuse him with a Godol, an adult Jew. Amolo, maybe we shouldn't allow any permission for any mum that he imposes, even the case of even in the first case. Tzricha, therefore, the Mishnah has to tell you that even so, even though there is this fear of Osi Lichlufi, we still will allow it in the event of that first mum that the Gentile imposed, where, as we explained earlier, the imposition of that mum was not done with the knowledge that permission would result as a result of his action. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Rav Katina, Lo Yishanu, the teaching that the Bechor, the firstborn, was mutter through what the Goy did, Ella di Omru Lei, except only if when the Goy had inquired as to why is it that this animal is left around and aged so much, why has it been left around so long and not slaughtered? So we say that everything is mutter if they told him, Ella im kein hoyo bo mum. The lashon, the expression that they used in answering him was this, that we can't eat it, we can't slaughter it, being that it's a firstborn, unless hoya bo mum. Aval im omru lei, if however they told him, im naase bo mum. Notice we've dashed underlined the critical words. If they would have told him, im naase, naase is an action word, that if a mum would be made in it, that's keman di omru lei zil ovid be mum adomi. That would be tantamount to the rabbis having told this Gentile, go make a mum. So, according to Rav Chisda, who is the first approach in this matter, it all depends on the language. After the Gentile inquired as to the aged sheep, if they told him that it can't be eaten, Elohim kein hoya bo mum, that's under those circumstances we will allow it when that goy goes ahead and made the mum with his spear, as we explained earlier, because the goy's understanding was that permission would be granted only if a mum happened on its own, as is implied by the word hoya, something that happens on its own. However, if that goy, when he asked about the aged bechor, was told im naase bo mum, he would take that as a cue that it can become allowed if I make a mum in it. And if he would go ahead and, based on hearing naase bo mum, make the mum, even though he hasn't done anything like this before, we would not be able to permit it, because that would be tantamount to his making a mum upon our instruction, which would not be allowed. Omar Rava, Michti, Memeila Hu. Rava is not impressed with this language difference. Rashi says, "Memelahu shelo hoyo yodea ha'oyve kechavim she'mutar al yodoi v'lo lahatir niskavein." Rashi says that this Gentile, whichever language you use, he would not have known that through his blemish imposition it will become mutter. Therefore, Mali, the Gemara continues, Mali hoya mali naase. What difference does it make if they would have said hoya bomum or naase bomum? Elona senami memelohu velo shna. Even if they had used the word naase, as far as the goy, as far as the idol worshipper is concerned, it is the same thing, a mum that happened on its own. And therefore, we can allow it under all circumstances. And of course, we're talking only about the first mum. However, when that Gentile, as the Mishnah says, saw that as a result of the mum that he, the Gentile, made, they were now slaughtering and eating it, that would be a clear sign that his action is that which resulted in its becoming mutter, and hence any further actions on the goy's part, since at that point he's doing it with the knowledge that his action will result in an allowance, that we therefore preempt and say would be forbidden. Ze haklal, kol shehu ledas osur. The Mishnah used an expression at the end. Ze haklal, this is the rule. Oftentimes when Mishnayos use that expression, the intent is to include other cases. So it's the Mishnah saying that the rule is presented in two parts. And the first one is if it's done with knowledge, so the resultant resultant blemish will not be grounds for permission. Lasuye mai, what does that come to include? Lasuye groma. The case of groma will also be usur. The case of groma, we have alluded to this in a past sugya. This is a case where a person would take some dough and attach it to the ear of a firstborn male animal, in the expectation that a dog would come along and take a bite out of the dough, and at the same time a bite out of the ear, thereby imposing a blemish. So that even though a person didn't impose a blemish, he caused the blemish to result, and that would be insufficient for allowing the animal, the firstborn, to be slaughtered. The b'chor would remain forbidden. Shelo ledas. The mission also taught that there's a rule that any blemish that happens shelo ledas, the resultant blemished animal will be allowed. The asuye, this comes to include mesiach lefi tumo. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Mesiach lefi tumo, shelo shoalom kazdur mativo. This would include a case where the Kastor, the Gentile official that we saw before in the Mishnah, let's say he wouldn't have asked them, Ma Tivo, what's the nature, why is this animal around and so old? Elohim Atzmon Mesichen Lefi Tumam Imu Akum. But it would be a situation where the Jews met up with this particular official and started talking to him about this and that. And the Omrim, and they would be saying in their conversation, they say, Re'e zokein ze lo yishochei lo'olam elai deimum. Look at this old animal. It's not going to be slaughtered until it gets a blemish. And they had no intention of hinting to him that he should make the blemish. So under such circumstances, which is called Mesiach Lefitumo, which basically means just telling a story, if under those circumstances the Gentile acted on his own and imposed a blemish, that resultant blemish would be grounds of allowing the Bechor to be slaughtered and eaten. Hoya Bechor Rodfo. Mishnah features a case of a Bechor, a firstborn animal, chasing a person. Ubo Atoi, and the person kicked the animal. the Osa Boy Mum, and thereby imposing a blemish on the animal, Hareze Shochtin Olav. That would be a type of blemish that we could rely on for slaughtering this Bechor. Before going on, we have a topic heading that accompanies this section under our No Say heading, Odom Shabat B'Bechor Shirotfoy. A person who kicked a Bechor that was chasing him, Ubekach Humom, and through that it became blemished. V'shachatoy Olav, and was then slaughtered based on that blemish. Bagemora Muva Shnei L'Shonish Rav Papa, number 1 and 2. In the Gemara, two versions of Rav Papa will be presented. I Davka B'Shas Redifa Boatbo Ke Hagono Atzmis. The kicking that results in the mum that we can rely on to matir the Shrita is that only if the kicking took place in the course of the chase, where the person's kick was an act of self-defense, or the kicking that we rely on for establishing it as a balmum can include a kicking that he kicked afterwards when the animal stopped chasing him, but as a result of encountering this animal that caused him pain, he kicked it out of a reaction to his memory, to his the memory of pain. That too would be a kicking that we can rely upon for establishing it as a Baal Mum. Now we turn to the Gemara, in which we'll see these two Lashonos of Rav Papa. You see Roman numerals 1 and 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Omar Rav Papa, Loi Shonu Ela Shabuatoi B'Shas Redifa. The Mishnah that says that the kicking and the resultant blemish is grounds for permission. This is true only if he kicked it while being chased. Avol acha redifa lo. But if he kicked it afterwards, that would be insufficient for allowing us to eat the bechor. Pshita. Well, that seems to be pretty obvious. That's the case that the Mishnah featured, that he kicked it while he was being chased. And a kicking afterwards would be tantamount to a premeditated blemish purposed kick. So the Gemara answers, Mahu detema, without Rav Papa, I would have thought that the subsequent kicking, if it's a kicking after the person was no longer being chased, Tsare hu de midkar. Midkar means remembered. His tsar, his pain, he remembered. In other words, the kicking, even if not done at the time of chasing, could be relied on when the mum results. And you'll ask, well, isn't it premeditated? No, it's not with the intention of making a mum. It's done simply as a reaction to the pain that he remembers in having been chased by this animal. And if that would be the case, so it would also be a non-intentional mum kick. Chalmash Malon, Rav Papa says that, nevertheless, we do not say that, and only a mum, only a kick that takes place during the chase, is a type of kick and resultant mum that we can rely on. Iko di Amri, Omar Rav Papa, there are those that present Rav Papa as follows. In the opposite fashion, lo tema b'shas redifa in avol shelo b'shas redifa lo. Don't say that only b'shas redifa, yes, we can rely on the resultant mum, and shelo b'shas redifa, a kick done afterwards, we could not rely on it. Don't say that. Elo afilu la'acha redifa nami. Even a kick that takes place after the chase stopped, we can also rely on it as being an unintentional mum kick. My taimo, well, why is it? How is it that it's not with the intent of making a mum if it's after the chase? Answer, tsare hu de midkar. The person kicking is simply recounting the pain that he had in having been chased by this animal and is taking out his emotions through the kick. But it's not a kick with the intention of making a blemish. Hence, we can allow the Bechor based on that. Omar Rav Yehuda, Mutar Lahatil Mum b'bechor kodem shietze la'avir ho'ilam. One is allowed to impose a blemish on an as yet unborn b'chor, namely before it emerges into the emerges from its mother. If one inserts his hand inside the mother and imposes a blemish on this as yet unborn b'chor, it's okay. It doesn't come under the category of the iser of imposing blemishes on animals, on b'choros. Omar Rava. Rava, coming on the heels of Rav Yehuda's comment, explains Gavya Bu'udne, a goat, if one were to impose this unborn blemish, that would happen in the case of a goat. You would be your first encounter with the goat in the body of its mother would be with the goat's ear. And Rashi explains the goat has long floppy ears, and hence because of this, its length, it ends up being the first limb or appendage that one would come in contact with if one inserts his hand into the mother's birth canal. And therefore the mum that you would impose would end up on its ear. Imra a sheep, besif vasei. The sheep, the way it's born is its head is tilted to the side so that its mouth, and sifsei are its lips, would emerge first. So therefore, if you insert your hand into the mother, you will encounter as the first limb that you encounter in the case of an unborn sheep would be its lips. And therefore the slit or the blemish that you impose would be on that limb. Ika diamri, another version of this is Imra nami b'udne. With regard to a sheep, that it might be in its ear as well. Amor derech tzdov nofat. It might have had its head turned to the side, not with its lips facing out, but its temples facing out. And in that case, so you would encounter its ear as well, like in the case of the goat. Not because of the length, but because of the positioning of the head. As we go on in the Gemara, this new section is introduced by our Nosei, the title heading, Chisaron B'shinov Masai Nechshav Mum. Here the Gemara will deal with a type of lacking with regard to the teeth of the animal as constituting a mum. A mum, in order for us to be able to rely on it, it must be something of an external nature. Now, teeth can be considered external when the animal's mouth is open to a certain degree. Omar Rava, Ochal velo merci, poi umerci. If you have a lacking in the teeth, and you won't notice it while the animal is eating. However, when the animal is screaming, and it opens its mouth more than it does when it's eating, and at that point, you would be able to see this teeth lacking. So, have a muma. That would be considered a mum. So that even though it's not visible at all times, it's visible only when the animal screams. That is enough to constitute it as an external phenomenon. The Gemara asks, "My komash malon tanina." What do I need Rava for when what he teaches is alluded to in a Tanaic source? The Mishnah says, and this is a quote from a Mishnah later in the Masechta, Chutin hachitzonos shenifgimu v'shenigmimu. Chutin is a reference to the teeth of the animal that are either chipped or nigmimu. The Rashi explains this as on the first wide line, Oshedigmu, Shenechtechu Birochbon, Milamala, Ba'oimek, V'lo chisru klum. It seems that the teeth are cut. There's some type of crack in the teeth that go down into the depths. However, lo chisru klum, none of the teeth material is lost. Have a mum. It will constitute a mum hoyo v'niru chutin, since you can see it. So, the chutin hachitzonos, these are the outer teeth that either were nifgimu, were chipped, or nigmimu, and hapnimios, inner teeth, will constitute a mum only if shene'ekru, they've been totally ripped out. Now, Rashi explains on this, shene'ekru legamri, on the second line under the Gemara, they've completely been uprooted, extracted. Have mum, kin meforsh vi ozil, hoyol v'chipoi mechsi. Since when the animal screams, you will notice its absence. Avo begima ogimum eino nikar bohem. However, the chip or the crack in them won't be visible. Share chavuos heim bapeh, because they're set deeply into its mouth. So now the Gemara goes on to explain my taima. Why is it that pnimios shenekru would constitute a mum? Lav mishum dechipoi mechsi. Is it not so that when the sheep screams, it can then be seen. So only, and it's only then that it can be seen, but it will constitute a mum, as this Mishnah indicates. So what we see is that the explanation of hapnimios shenekru is exactly what Rav Papa said. So what do I need Rav Papa? It's exactly what Rava said. What do I need Rava for? Omar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa explains that Rava nami taimo demasnisin meforesh. Rava isn't coming to tell us something new. He is simply coming to explain the Mishnah. My taimo nekru havi mumo. Why is it that if the inner teeth are ripped out, does that constitute a mum? Mishum dechipoi mechsi. It's because it's visible. It's considered visible or external, because when the animal screams, the absence can be seen, can be noticed. Before learning the next Mishnah, we have a title heading that accompanies this Gemara, and under our Nosei heading, we've also indicated that this discussion or the topic will last till Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Hence, on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, we won't expect to see any further topic headings, being that it's basically one topic till then, and it's under the we've written on the under our topic heading the Nosei Mi Ne'emon Lahoid Almum Deme'elov Nofalbo. Who is believed to testify that a mum happened on its own? As we have already alluded to, mumen that are imposed in a premeditated fashion with intent to establish the animal as a baal mum, those kind of mumen cannot be relied upon for slaughtering the animal, slaughtering the bechor. So this is the general topic that will keep us preoccupied, as we said, till the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah. Kol hamumin haru'uyin lovoi bidei adam. Those kind of blemishes that can possibly have been imposed by a person. In contrast, let's say, with blemishes that couldn't possibly come as a result of a person, like a fifth leg or different sized eyes peculiar sizes of eyes or other limbs. Those are obviously from birth, that those are kinds of mumin that a person could not be responsible for. So we're not talking about those. We're talking rather about those kinds of blemishes that a person may have imposed. For example, a blinded animal or a cut off limb or a slit in its ear. A cracked ear. These are things that a person could have imposed. So our Mishnah says all those kind of mumin, that could have been imposed by a person, and we have to establish, were they imposed by a person or did they happen on its own? Roye Yisrael ne'emonim, roye kohanim einon ne'emonim. The roe Yisrael are believed to say that it happened on its own. Roe are shepherds. The exact definition of roe Yisrael and roe kohanim will be the subject of discussion in the Gemara. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, a second Tanaic opinion, says ne'emon hu al shachavero ve'ein ne'emon al shel atzmo. A person is believed. It sounds from Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that all people would be believed if it's as long as it's not a testimony concerning their own animal. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hechoshud al Hadavar, Loidono Velo Miido. A person who is suspect on a particular matter cannot judge it, nor can he bear Meido, is bear witness regarding it. The Gemara will explain and elaborate on what we have just seen in this Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Elazar. These are two Amoraim, and each one gives his opinion as to how to understand the Mishnah. You'll notice that we have used a double underline with dots in it to feature the explanation of each opinion, and it underlines the expression Chan Omar. So you have number one here, and at the bottom line, number two, V'chad Omar. Who says what? The Gemara doesn't explain. All we know is that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar are arguing regarding the explanation of the Mishnah. If we focus on the Mishnah and the expression Roe Yisrael, that can mean one of two things, and this is going to be the point of controversy. Roe Yisrael may mean shepherds that are themselves Yisraelim, meaning they are non-Kohanim. They're shepherds that are Yisraelim. They are to be believed. Another explanation might be Roe, shepherds of a Yisrael, as opposed to shepherds of a Kohen. So that the word, just to go over this machlokes, when looking at the expression Roe Yisrael, the word Yisrael is either a description of the shepherd or a description of the owner. Now, the Gemara. After seeing Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara says, Chad Omar. One of them says, Roe Yisrael, Bei Kohanim Ne'emonim. Shepherds that themselves are non-Kohanim, and they may be shepherding even by the household of Kohanim, where the owner, they're shepherding animals belonging to a Kohen. So those shepherds, those are Roim, shepherds that themselves are non-Kohanim, they are believed, say, that the mum that fell on this Kohen-owned animal is a mum that happened on its own. Now, why do we believe them? Is there not, let us say, room for suspicion that maybe the mum was human imposed, was not something that happened on its own, and that this guy is lying? Now you'll say, what interest does he have in lying? Because he's interested in it becoming mutter, so that the balabayas here, the owner, who happens to be a Kohen, will then shecht the Bechor, and he'll offer him, this shepherd, some of the food, some of the meat. After all, the owner, being a Kohen, he gets this Bechor. It's his. He gets it. He can then slaughter it, and then offer meat to the shepherd, his worker, who happens to be a Yisrael. So the Gemara says, well, all of that we don't suspect. L'legima loy chayshinon. Legima is this phenomenon of being served a meal. We're not choshesh that in order to benefit from such a meal that would be motivation for him to lie. He wouldn't lie because of that. Roye kohanim be Yisrael, ein ne'emonim. shepherds who themselves are kohanim, that are working for a balabayas who is a non-kohen, they are not believed when they say that a mum happened on its own, because we suspect that he or a person had imposed it. Meimar Omar, he figures. And what the Gemara explains now is the basis of his motivation to in fact lie. Don't forget, we're talking about shepherds that themselves are kohanim, and they will rationalize or figure, Kevon de Kotarachnobe, since I am troubling myself to take care of these animals as a shepherd, Lo Shovik Lididi Vyohiv Lachrini, he wouldn't leave me and choose someone else to give it to. Therefore, he has this sense of confidence that if he gets a mum, and the Yisrael then has to give it to a Kohen as a Bechor Ba'mum, which is given to a Kohen, this shepherd, who himself is a Kohen, will be the recipient of it. And as a Ba'mum, he'll be able to slaughter it immediately and enjoy it and benefit from it. So he's full of anticipation of getting it. And therefore, he has motivation to lie. Therefore, we can't rely on him. The Hu Hadin, similarly, we would not be able to rely on Kohen LeKohen, the Chayshinon LeGoimlin, a shepherd who is a Kohen, who is working for a Balabayas, an owner who is a Kohen, likewise would not be believed. Because of this new chashash, this new concern called a chashash legoimlin. Gomlin is a phenomenon of, I will do you a favor in anticipation of you doing me a favor. Now, Rashi explains this at greater length. In order to find the Rashi, though, you'll have to scroll over to Omid Beis. The Rashi that's pertinent for this Omid Aleph continues onto Amud Beis, and you can see we've marked the section of Rashi with a type of frame around the part that is still relevant to Amud Aleph. So if you have Amud Beis available, you'll see Rashi explains this on the top line there. V'huadin koyin l'koyin, klomar, u'misvora nafgalon, the koyin roya eno neman l'hoyed ala b'chor sho koyin acher. Through logic, we can conclude that a koyin who himself is a shepherd could not be relied upon to testify about a mum for the owner of this flock who happens to be a Kohen. The Chayshinon LeGoimlin, we're concerned with that possibility called Goimlin, and Rashi explains what that is. The Sovar, he figures, this shepherd Kohen figures, Idenu Achshav, I will testify, lie in this case, now, the Hu Yigmoil Li, he will do the same turn unto me, Kishi Itain Li Yisrael Bechor Tam, the Atil Boi Mum, in the future a Yisrael may give to me an unblemished firstborn male animal, and I will impose a mum on it, the Avo Kohen Zeh, and this Kohen, who is now my Balabos, he will then come the Aideni Shmeilov Nafabo, and he'll testify on my behalf that the mum happened on its own, and of course be lying. So Gomlin is, I'll testify for him in anticipation of his testifying for me at some later point in time. As a result of this, a Kohen who is a shepherd, whether he is shepherding for a Balabayas Yisrael, or he is shepherding for a Balabayas who happens to be a Kohen, we cannot rely on what he says. The Gemara continues on Omid Aleph, three lines from the bottom. What the Gemara does now is it presents the additional Tanaic opinions in the Mishnah as they are understood in this through this explanation. The also Shumam Leo Lememar, Nemon hu al shachabero, the eno nemon al shel atzmo. A shepherd even if he happens to be a Kohen, is believed regarding someone else's animals, whether it be his employer or an outsider. Kohanim are not suspect concerning Bechoros other than his own. Namely, only those that have already actually been given to him. So Rav Shimon Leo is, we'll call, more tolerant of Kohanim and their trustworthiness than the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma took into consideration a Kohen's willingness or motivation to lie because of his anticipation of receiving a Bechor. And Rav Shimon says, no, if it's a question of anticipation, that is not enough motivation for the Kohen to lie. Only regarding something he's already in possession of would he lie. The also Rabbi Meir Lememar, Hachoshud al Hadavar, Loidonoi Veloi Meidoi. The Choshud al Hadavar, someone who is suspect, in this case it would be Kohanim. They are suspect concerning firstborns. They cannot judge cases like that, and they cannot testify about cases like that. Rashi points out that the Gemara later will raise the following question. Rabbi Meir is saying, basically, that Kohanim, being that they are suspect, they cannot testify. Well, is it not so that the Tanna Kamma, according to this approach, that we call this the number one approach, that the Tanna Kamma also said that? He said the same thing. The Gemara continues at the bottom line, V'chad Omar. This is the second of the other opinion. We had Rav Yochanan Rav Elazar. One of them says the following. Roye Yisrael v'hein kohanim ne'emonim. This is in quite a stark contrast with the first, with the number one approach. This approach is saying that Roye Yisrael, that means shepherds that are shepherding for a Yisrael. In this case, the word Yisrael is not a description of the shepherd. It's a description of the one for whom the shepherding is done. V'hein kohanim, the shepherds themselves are kohanim. Ne'emonim, they are believed. Now, did we not see before a svara to the contrary, namely that he figures he would be the recipient? No, this approach says absolutely not. Neymar Omar, he figures. This is the Kohen shepherd figures. I have no chance of getting the Bechor from my employer. Lo shovik tsumarabona v'yoiv l'didi. He wouldn't pass up on the chance of giving the Bechor to a Talmud Chacham, to a Torah scholar, and opt to give it to me, a mere shepherd, as Rashi says, your stam shepherd was an am haaretz, was an ignoramus. Roye kohanim vehein Yisrael einon ne'emonim. According to this approach, the kohanim is a description of the owner, like we just got finished saying roye Yisrael. Here roye kohanim is shepherds for kohanim. Vehein Yisrael, the shepherds themselves are non-Kohanim, einon ne'emonim. They are not to be believed. Even though the speaker in this case would be a Yisrael, he is not believed. Who are they shepherding for? They're shepherding for Kohanim. The Kohanim are the owners of these firstborn male animals, of these Bechoros. What's going to happen in the event that the animal develops a mum? Well, he, the Kohen, is going to slaughter it, and it'll be his food. So here, this opinion, this whole approach says, we can't trust the Yisrael because he's motivated to lie in anticipation of getting a meal out of it. The Chayshinon Lilegima, we're choshesh for his benefiting from a meal from this Bechor. So someone who is shepherding for a Kohen, according to this approach, is motivated to lie because, as we said, he has a meal coming out of it for him, he feels. V'kol shekein kayhein l'kayhein daloi, and all the more so if it's we're talking about a shepherd kohen working for a balabayis kohen, we cannot rely on his testimony, on this shepherd's testimony. Here there are two strikes against this shepherd. One is the chayshinon l'goymlin, where choshesh that the kohen who testifies for his balabos today anticipates that the balabos will testify for him on some other day. And the second problem, the chayshinon l'legima, as a shepherd, he will benefit from the meal that his employer will serve. The also Rabbi Shimon l'meimar. Once again, we go through the additional tanoim that appeared in the Mishnah according to this second approach. Rabbi Shimon was presented here somewhat abbreviated. We saw it was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. He comes to say, Ne'emon al shel chavero, v'eino ne'emon al shel atzmo. Regarding the case of the Kohen, working for a Kohen, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel will tell us that the Kohen is believed concerning someone else's Bechor. The only one he is not believed on would be on one that he himself owns. The Rashi says that Rav Shimon Gamliel is not Choshesh for Legima, and he's not Choshesh for Goimlin. The also Rabbi Meir Lemeimar, Hechoshud al Hadovor lo donoi velo meidoi. Rabbi Meir comes and says, Kohanim are choshud on Bechoros. They cannot testify and they cannot judge cases of Bechor. The Rashi says over here, lo dono velo meido, upolig ad Rabbi Shimon, deshori afilu koin lekoin. Rabbi Meir argues with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who had allowed even the case of a Kohen testifying for a Kohen employer. Upolig a de Tanakamo, and Rabbi Meir argues with the Tanakamo, domar, Roye behemois Yisrael, the people shepherding for animals belong to Yisrael, fibul hein kohanim, ne'emonim. Even if the shepherds themselves are kohanim, they nevertheless are believed. And as we explained, that those Kohanim shepherds don't anticipate getting the Bechor. And Rabbi Meir comes to tell us, the Horoim Kohanim Einemonim, that Kohanim that happen to be shepherds are just, they're not believed. The Gemara now goes on presenting a question that we alluded to earlier. This question itself, starting with Bishlamo, lasts a few lines, and you can see that with our long question marking. The kufits encircle the kushya with a descending vertical dashed line shows you the length of the question. Bishlamo lemada omar roye Yisrael vehein kehanim ne'emonim. This is, things would work out according to the number two approach. We call this two aleph. This helps you find where this is coming from. This is basically the bottom line of Omid Aleph, where we had the second, the number two, Chad Omar. There was that double underline at the bottom of Omid Aleph. And the Aleph there was this case, which said, this was the Madrama that said, this was the opinion that said, Roye Yisrael, shepherds for a non-Kohen, for a Yisrael, the Balabayas is a Yisrael, the Hain Kohanim, the shepherds themselves are Kohanim, Ne'emonim. We have, according to this opinion, Kohanim being believed. They are basically testifying concerning someone else's animals. Hainu, the also Rabbi Meir, Lemeimar. Therefore, I can understand Rabbi Meir, who appeared at the end of the Mishnah, comes along to disagree and says, Hachoshed ala dover lo dono velo miido. Someone who at some time is suspicious of a matter, he cannot judge it nor testify about it. And that's a reference to Kehanim. because we know that Kohanim concerning their own Bechoros would be suspect. So according to Rabbi Meir, that makes them always suspect. And he there, with through that, disagrees with the Tanakhama, so Rabbi Meir represents a new opinion. Elo leman diomar roye kohanim beYisrael einem onim. According to the first Chadomar, and this can be found in one bays. That would mean you look back at the first double underline and the bays point that he mentioned, which was this, that shepherds that themselves are kohanim that are working for a Yisrael. The Tanakhama, according to the first Chadomar, had said that those shepherds are not believed. These are Kohanim, shepherds are not believed. My also Rabbi Meir la'ashmi'inan. What is Rabbi Meir adding that the Tanakhama didn't already say? Hainu Tanakhama. Rabbi Meir is one in the same as the Tanakhama. Both are saying that Kohanim are not believed. The Gemara answers, it's true that both are saying something along those lines. However, there is a point of difference. Iko binayu Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusoi. Desanya. We bring a Tanaic source, as you can see, of a framed section, which is a Tanaic source, as are all framed sections in Gemara markings, in which we have a few Tanaic opinions recorded. The first is the name we are looking for. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusoi Oimer. Bechor Bei Koyin. Tzorech shnayim min hashuk lahoid olav. The translation would be a bechor in the house of a kohen needs two people from the outside to testify about its blemish, that it came on its own. In order to appreciate the point of difference, we look at Rashi. In other words, what we're looking to do is to take in this information and show the point of controversy between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Meir. Where do they differ? So looking at Rashi, you'll find Rashi about halfway down the page, Tzorech Shnayim in Ashuk. Rashi says, Shnayim kol Shehein, any two, Vafilu Kehanim. Even if those two happen to be Kohanim, those outsiders are Kohanim, Avol Kehanim Shebebe Soi Loi. However, Kehanim from his own household, from that house that owns the Bechor, those kind of Kohan would not be acceptable. They're not outsiders, they're from the household. So according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusoi, Kohanim that are outsiders could testify. So now how does this information tie in, or how do we apply this as far as our local Tanoim, the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Meir? Rashi explains, Tanakhama islay Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusoi. Our Tanakhama agrees with Rabbi Yeshua. The Ka'omar Tanakhama, the loshon of the Tanakhama, the expression that he said was Roye Kehanim Bein Bei Yisrael Bein Bei Kehanim, shepherds that are Kohanim, whether they're shepherding for a Yisrael or shepherding for a Kohen. Kideprishus Taimo Einem Onim. As was explained earlier, they are not believed. These are Roe Kohanim. These are shepherds that are acting within the household, so to speak, within the confines of this particular ownership. Avol Kohanim de Almo, but outsiders that happen to be Kohanim, Nemonim. Vafilu Abachoros de Kohanim, even concerning Bechoros, firstborns of other Kohanim. V'lo chashinin l'goimlin. And we are not concerned of goimlin when you're dealing with outsiders. Avol b'roye d'koy gabe. However, with regard to a shepherd that's working in this household, v'savar oyed es rabbi, v'huya edeni, k'shitein li Yisrael ba'almo b'chor. If he is testifying for the balabayas, you have a Kohen worker testifying for a Balabayas that happens to be a Kohen, there the suspicion of Gomlin does kick in, does take place. However, the suspicion of Gomlin does not take place with regard to some outsider Kohanim. Rabbi Meir less later, Rabbi Shua Gamri. Rabbi Meir doesn't hold from Rabbi Yeshua ben Kusoy's logic at all. The Kevin the next Yukayim of Bechor, since there is some occasion in which Kohanim are suspect concerning firstborns, lo don velo moyed afilu kohen deshuk, even an outsider kohen altogether. Afilu habechor biad Yisrael. And even if the Bechor happens to be owned by, is in the possession of Yisrael, where there isn't, where the only suspicion might have been possibly legima, or practically, we could say practically no suspicion, he is not going to be believed. So, we continue now in the Tanaic source, after realizing what we have accomplished already. We were looking for a difference according to the first Man de Omar, that was the first double underline opinion that we saw on Omet Aleph. What is the point of difference between Rebbe the Tanakamo and Rebbe Meir? We explained the point of difference, or the case that would illustrate a difference, would be the trustworthiness of outsider Kohanim regarding a blemish. The Tanakama is saying that we can accept the testimony of outsider Kohanim, and Rabbi Meir is saying that outsider Kohanim, along with the shepherd Kohanim, cannot be believed. The Tanaic source continues, Rabbi Shimon Liel Omer, Afilu Binoi, Afilu Bitoi. Rabbi Shimon is much more lenient with regard to testimony acceptance, and says that this is Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, consistent with what we've seen already, who said, Ne'emon al shel chavero, one is believed as long as it's not his own. So that even a son, with regard to his father, the father is considered, chavero, is considered an outsider. A person becomes suspicious only when he is testifying about his very own personal Bechor, something that he is the owner of. Continuing in the Tanaic source, Rebbe Omer, Afilu Asora Vehein Bnei Beisoy Ein Me'iden Olav. Rebbe says that anyone who is a member of a particular household in which you have a Bechor, they are not believed. But an outsider, even one, would be believed. According to Rashi, the difference between Rebbe and Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusoy is, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusoy, you need two outsiders. According to Rebbe, one would be enough. The Gemara continues in asking the comment that Rav Chisto is about to make. We want to know, based on whom or according to whom should we understand his teaching? Keman azla ha di Amar Rav Chisda Amar Rav Katina. Safek b'chor shenoylad bei Yisrael. Tzorech shnayim min hashuk lahoyed olav. The case of safek b'chor would be an animal that on its first birth gave birth to two male animals. We don't know which one came out first. In such a case, one of them will be given to the Kohen, and the other one, the owner, keeps. Now, the one that the owner keeps is a Safek Bechor. It might be a Bechor. Maybe it came out first. So we will expect it to graze until it develops a blemish, and then the Yisrael will keep it and eat it, on the grounds that the other one that the Kohen took, maybe that's really the Bechor. So that as far as ownership is concerned, you have a Safek, a Momeno Safek, and we say, Hamotzi Mechavero Levaraya, the one who wants to take it out would have to bring proof. So, however, before it develops a blemish, it has the din of a Bechor, or a Safek Bechor Tam, and as such, it would have to be if it were a real Bechor Tam, it would have to be brought as a sacrifice. You can't eat it. So he will have to wait till it develops a blemish in order to eat it. So you can see that we're talking about blemishes. this Safek Bechor that the Israel keeps, Rav Chista tells us you will need two outsiders to testify that the mum happened on its own and was not imposed by Kavona. So this statement of Rav Chista's, namely, Safek Bechor Shenoleg Be Yisrael Tzorach Shnayim Min Hashuk Lo'id Olov, Keman, according to whom is that? Answer, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfutsoi. This is in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfutsoi, who said basically this, he said that. Rashi adds on the first widest line under the Tosis, Rabbi Yeshua, the Chihechid Bechor Be Kohan and Boy Shnayim Min Hashuk Lo'id Olov, just like the case that Rabbi Shimon Fsoi said that a Bechor in the home of a Kohen needs two outsiders to testify about it. Hachinami Safek Bechor B'Yad Yisrael. The same thing is true with regard to the Safek Bechor that the Yisrael is keeping. That's the case of the twin birth, one of which the Yisrael keeps. We go on in the Gemara, and regarding this case of the Safek Bechor Bei Yisrael, we have another approach. And that's why we have this lettering. We had an Aleph just before, and now a Beis. Rav Nachman Omar, Bailim Me'idin Alav. Rav Nachman says that this case of the Safek Bechor B'Yad Yisrael, even the owner Yisrael himself can testify it as having a blemish that happened on its own. This approach is saying that Kohanim are suspect on Bechoros, but not Yisrael, even on an animal that they themselves will be, eventually they'll be eating when the mum comes about. So Rav Nachman, let's say, bolsters his point. The Gemara backs him up by arguing or by explaining, we'll have to say, a two-stage defense or backup of Rav Nachman's position. And we say two stages because we're going to have a number one here, but what we say now, the Gemara will reject. However, it will come up with a point number two just a couple lines later to back up Rav Nachman's comment. So in the meantime, Rav Nachman is saying that you have a situation where even the owner of the Bechor, in this case, to speak about a non-Kohen as an owner comes up in this situation where you have a Safek Bechor. Rav Nachman says the owner is believed. De'i lo'i teima hachi. If you were to not accept this and say that the Yisrael owner is not believed, well then, Meiser l'Rebbe Meir mi me'id alav. Meiser is a reference to Meiser Behema. Meiser Behema is an animal that is a 10%, it's a tithe, one-tenth of any given year's births of animals are set aside, and if they are unblemished, they are brought as a korban. In the event that they are blemished, you have a meiser behema that's a baal mum, so the owner keeps it for himself. Who would testify? Who is to testify about the blemish of a Meiser Behema? If we adopt Rabbi Meir for a moment, Rabbi Meir said that someone who is suspect is never going to be believed. If you don't accept Rav Nachman, and rather you would say that the owner cannot testify about it, that makes an owner who happens to be Yisrael, suspect. If that were true, according to Rabbi Meir, then you have a case of someone being suspect. He cannot testify about even others. So, in effect, you would be passeling all people from testifying about Meiser Behemoth. You would be leaving no one to testify about it. The Gemara says, you can't really use the case of Meiser Behemoth as a backup or proof for Rav Nachman, who was talking about the case of Sofek Bechor. Why not? Meiser Vadai Mehemon. In the case of blemishes regarding Meiser Behemoth, the owner is certainly going to be believed, even according to Rabbi Meir. The E-Boy, because as far as, let's say, someone that was interested in imposing Mumin, he had a permitted way of imposing a Mum. The E-Boy, Shodi Be-Muma Bekule Edrei, he could have, before counting the animals in the tithing process, when none of them had been dedicated as sanctified, he could have imposed blemishes on his entire flock and not have done anything wrong. If he was so interested in establishing a mum, he could have done it beheter. Therefore, if you have someone coming along and saying that this mum in the Meiser Behemah happened on its own, believe him. Because if he was interested in a mumin that he imposed, he could have done it before it was tithed and done it beheter, done it in an allowed fashion. So the case of Meiser Behemoth and the believability of the owner is not going to be a source of, let's say, proof to Rav Nachman's contention that a Bailim is believed regarding his Safek Bechor. Elo, we'll call this the second stage in offering proof to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said the owner is believed concerning the Safek Bechor. So the Gemara says, Elo Safek Bechor le Rebbe Meir mi meid olav. Regarding, if you were to not, let's say, not accept Rav Nachman and say that an owner is suspicious regarding the Safek Bechor, that means you have everybody, being that at some time they themselves could be an owner, everybody will be always suspect regarding the topic of blemishes of Safek Bechors. Because according to Rabbi Meir, once you're suspect in one case, if you're suspect as an owner, so you cannot testify or judge any case of that nature. Being that we're assuming that testimony concerning Safek Bechors does take place, it shows, like Rav Nachman says, that an owner is believed concerning, or even an owner is believed concerning his Safek Bechor. The Gemara says, well, v'chitema hochinami deles leitakanto. If you try to say, you know what, according to Rabbi Meir, a Safek Bechor Biyad Yisrael has no hope. No one will ever be able to testify about the blemish having happened on its own. Well, that's not true to say that it has no takona, that it has no hope. V'hotnan, we have the following source in which Rabbi Meir appears, where we see that it can be eaten. This is a source that we had been exposed to earlier in the Masechta, and it deals with the case of the Safek Bechor, and we said that happens in a twin birth, where the Kohen receives one and the Yisrael receives the other. What is the din with regard to the Matnas Kahuna from a Safek Bechor Biyad Yisrael? Matnas Kahuna means the Zroah L'chaim Akeva, the arm, the cheek, and the stomach of chulin animals, of non-holy animals, those limbs are given to Kohanim. When we're dealing with a Safek Bechor Biyad Yisrael, there's a certain level of assumption that that's a chulin animal. If it wasn't, it should have been given to the Kohen. So do we require the matanos to be given from it? Well, Shehoya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Shechalifov Biyad Kohen Potter min hamatonas, where there is an exchange for an animal that the Kohen received, so the animal held onto by the Israel is actually exempt from matonas. We are not going to get into the explanation of that. That was dealt with on Daf Yud Ches. If you want to see more about that, go back to Daf Yud Ches, and you'll notice the Rashi on Yud Ches Omed Aleph that explains this a bit more. We want to focus on Rabbi Meir's opinion, Rabbi Meir Mechayev. Rabbi Meir says that the animal that the Yisrael has, that's called the Safek Bechor Biyad Yisrael, the animal that the Yisrael keeps, will be Chayev in Matonis, which basically means it will be slaughtered, and its meat will be eaten, and those limbs have to be given to a Kohen. So you see that it has a heter, and not like we threw out the suggestion that maybe it has no takon, it has no hope. It does have hope. You see that in the case of this case of Safek Bechor Biyad Yisrael, it's going to be slaughtered, and it says the matnas kunu will be given to the Kohen. How do you come to slaughter it? Isn't it a Safek Bechor? Don't you need to have testimony concerning the blemish? And Rabbi Meir is pointing out that you are going to be eating it. Ela shma mino. You must conclude b'aylim me'idim olav, that the owner is believed to testify about it, about the blemish having happened on its own. Kayanim hu dechashidi amumi. Only kayhanim are suspect concerning Mumin, as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned. Yisrael lo chashidi amumi. Non-Kohanim are not suspect, even when it concerns their own animals. The Gemara continues, Itmar, Rav Nachman Omar, Halocha, Kribshimim ben Gamliel. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to conveniently point out where we saw Rav Shimon Gamliel above. He said that a person is believed as long as it's not his very own Bechor. Even members of one's own household are believed. You're dealing here with the case of the son of a Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, they are believed. Even though, of course, they themselves are Kehanim, but it's not their own animal. Rava Omar Halocha Ke Rebbe. Rava, on the other hand, Paskins, like Rebbe, that says members of one's own household are not believed. The Gemara asks, Umi Omar Rava Hochi? Does Rava really say that? The Omar Rava Bailim Imanu Bachutz. If you have a case of the owner of a Bechor outside, and the animal outside a house, and the firstborn animal, Nichnas Sholem V'yotza Chovul, it went into the house in an unblemished state, came out injured, namely with a blemish. Me'idin Olav, they can testify concerning it. Now, who's testifying? Is it not B'nai Beso? So you see that Rava himself is saying that B'nai Beso are believed. So how can Rava have said that B'nai Beso means members of the household are believed? Because in this scenario, as long as the owner is outside, he's not testifying, but but testimony is being offered by whom? Is it not by B'nai Beso? So you see, they're believed. And that would bring into question, how could you say that Rava Paskins like Rebbe, who says that members of one's household are not believed? The Gemara answers, Emo kol bailov imanu veloi chayshinon. As far as this little piece of Gemara, Rashi offers two explanations. So we'll just read a couple lines of Gemara and then go into the Rashi for full explanation. The Gemara asks, well, ihachi, if everyone is outside, the owner and his household are outside, because by saying kol bailov imanu, everyone, all of the members of the household are outside. So, if everyone is outside, then my lemeimra, if everyone's outside, so who could have possibly imposed the blemish on the animal? So of course it happened on its own. So mahu detemo nechush l'chashoda. There was room to suspect something, to take into consideration something suspicious or foul play. Komash molon, we don't take that into consideration. As we said, this is a bit vague. We turn now to Rashi. You'll notice four lines from the bottom, Rashi with a little one over it. And then the next line, there's a Lishna Achrina that's squiggle underlined and abbreviated Lamed Alf is Lishna Achrina and a number two. So these two, this Rashi will give us the two approaches. Now, the Rashi. Emo kol balov, bonov uvne beso, omdin imonu bachutz. The owner, we can say the Kohen and his entire family are outside. And the one who is testifying about it is the shepherd that remained in the house. So he is testifying. So to that, the Gemara said, Pshita, Hoyol v'chol b'ayla v'imonu mi'atilenu. Since all of the household is outside, so who would make the mum in the animal? We're talking about, once again, an animal that went, that before it entered the house was unblemished. It exited the house injured. It would seem that it happened on its own, and hence it would be a blemish you could rely on. So, mahu detemo nechush l'chashoda. Without Rova, I might have thought that we should suspect the Roya gufei hitilabo, that the Roya himself, maybe he imposed the mum. We saw earlier in today's shiur svaras for that, that the Roya might be anticipating getting a meal out of this particular bechor. Being once getting a blemish, he could be slaughtered, and maybe he made the mum in order to get the meal. So that's the point that Rava is saying, we're not going to suspect the shepherd. Rashi goes on, Lishna Achrina, Emo Kol Bailov Imanu. Not just the owner himself, but all Bailov are outside. Klomar, I Amri Sadi. If witnesses would tell us, Kol Bailov Shalbachor, Dainuhu Vnebeisu, Hoyu Imanu Bachutz. Witnesses tell us a story that the owner and all of his household were outside. And this firstborn animal went in unblemished, exited blemished. Me'idin, they testify. Klomar idusin edus, we can rely on that testimony. Vishori, and allow the animal. Hoyo v'lo hoyo ish babayas, since no one was inside. Well, if no one was inside, so we said, well, then it's pshita, then it's obvious that the mum happened on its own. So the Gemara answered that nechush v'chashoda shemohen gormuloi mitchila, maybe they caused the mum. Shenichu lo develo aloizen, inami osu lo gumov enof asham. There is room to suspect maybe the owners, even though they were outside at the time the mum happened, but they set it up that the mum should happen, that they put a clump of dough on its ear so that a dog would bite it, or they set a pit in the house that the animal would inevitably fall into. That's what we saw Groma before, and we had learned when the Mishnah said Zeh HaKlal, anything that's done midaito, we saw that comes to include a case of groma. That's called, we saw gzeah klal kol shehu l'das is aser. And hence a groma would be grounds for banning, for asering. So the Gemara tells us that what we learn from Rava is that we don't suspect that. Continuing in the Gemara, the Hilchasa Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Gemara itself rules like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that the Bno Ubeso are believed. The household members of the household are believed. However, Vadafka Bno Ubito Avul Ishto Lo, son and daughter, yes, but one's own wife is not believed. My taima, why is one's wife not believed? Ishto kigufo domi. a person's wife is considered like himself. And Rav Shlomo Amliel agrees that the owner himself is suspect of imposing a mum. Amar le Rav Papa Labaye. We are starting now a long question. It takes us to the bottom line. Rav Papa asks Abaye, Le Rebbe Meir Domar, Hechoshed ala davar, Lo dono v'lo meido. Rebbe Meir says, one point, that someone who is suspect over a particular matter cannot judge cases of that nature nor testify. The Ka'omar Rebbe Meir, and Rebbe Meir makes a second point. The Ka'omar Rebbe Meir, Hechoshud L'Dover Echot, Choshud L'Chola Torah Kula. If you're suspect in one area of the Torah, you're considered suspect in all areas of the Torah. Kehanim, Hachinami Delo Daini Dina. Are we then to conclude that Kehanim, since they're suspect in the area of Mumin, of imposing Mumin on Bechoros, they're therefore rendered unfit to judge any case whatsoever, v'haksiv. But the Torah says, v'alpihem ye kol riv v'chol nega. Regarding the Kehanim, it says that they are to judge all cases of controversy and negoyim are skin discolorings, and it's cases of tsaras. Yet Tsaras Begodim, Tsaras Botim also, that they judge all these cases. So how do you understand the Torah that does give believability to Kehanim in light of Rebbe Meir's stance with regard to the Kehanim being Choshud on this area, and that thereby making them Choshud L'Chol HaTorah Kula? The Gemara answers at the top line of Daf Lamed Vav, Amar, the Omar Rebbe Meir L'chashosha. Rebbe Meir said that Kohanim are suspect. However, L'achzukinu mi Omar, to say that they are definite violators, does he go that far? So Rashi at the top explains, L'achzukinu b'chashudin mi Omar Rebbe Meir. Does Rebbe Meir say just because there's this general suspicion that Kohanim would make a mum, does that mean they definitely did it? V'chi Omar, Rashi goes on, V'chi Omar, Choshud L'Dovor Echol, Choshud L'Chol Dor Kula, that which Rebbe Meir said, that one who is suspect with regard to one area of Torah, he's suspect with regard to everything else, that's Hecho de Muchsik Lon de Over Al Dovor Echol. That's when it's known to us that he violates a particular area of halacha. So in a case where we know he has violated a particular area, that creates an element of suspicion. There's a difference between a vague suspicion, not knowing he did something wrong, as opposed to someone who has done something wrong, thereby creating suspicion that he will continue to do something wrong, even if that thing is in one area of halacha. According to Rabbi Meir, once one is muhsak, is established as having violated a particular area of halacha, thereby creating this suspicion, only under those circumstances he called choshed l'chol haTorah kula, but not in a case where we don't know him to have violated, and there's just this vague suspicion about him possibly committing this wrong. That is not enough to render him puzzle to Dan and to be made. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.